You are recording as long as the court reporter is ready.
All right, we are back in open session. And we're at the point where board members can ask questions of our Kiesel, Dr. Wright, you're the lead.
So just to kind of go through the timeline a little bit. So you saw Buddy originally on August 3rd, is that correct? Okay. And what did you see during that exam? Or that presentation?
Healthy dog.
Okay.
Nothing wrong that I could see. The owner had said that he had swallowed a bunch of material, but the dog was fine. He didn't have any pain on abdominal palpation. He was a happy dog.
And at that time, is that when you induced vomiting in the dog? Is that correct?
Well, at that time, I gave him xylazine. And if I do surgery on a dog, I usually give xylazine. And then 10 to 15 minutes later, I give ketamine. And then we can go ahead with the surgery. In this particular case, I gave the barium, xylazine, and he vomited, and up came a bunch of panties. And the owner said, I think 10, but we only saw 6. So at that point, I decided to give the ketamine anyway, because vomiting without ketamine has a much worse effect.
So the xylazine was given more in preparation for surgery or to really see if we could vomit something up? What was the intent of getting it?
Well, the intent was both. I've done this many times in my 40 years, and even if the dog vomits barium, it's going to leave stuff on the material, on the fabric, which I'll be able to see on the x-ray.
So at that time, had you done any other x-rays or anything to determine if there was something in his stomach or?
We did an original x-ray. Okay. We saw nothing.
Okay. And that's when you gave his eyes.
Right.
Okay. And then, so we vomited up 6-ish pairs of underwear. And after the vomit, is that when you gave the ketamine? Or was it kind of before? Right? Yeah, just I'm looking at time.
No, the ketamine was after.
Was after the vomit, okay. And then the barium that was given. So we got to open that up. So the barium was done. Was it on the 13th? Sorry, I'm going back to the records to see. Barium was given on.
Yeah, I have to apologize for the records. They're terrible.
I'm trying to remember the very most in here the last day. The aspirations of that day. Oh, sorry. Okay, there's the 7th. Yeah, I'm going to see. Sorry. So do you remember, was the barium given the same day as that, or was it given? When were the x-rays for the barium taken? Let's do that one day.
Yeah, it would all happen the same day.
Okay, so the same day.
And as soon as I knew there was barium in the lungs, we took him to the emergency.
But after you gave the xylazine and ketamine, how long after that was the barium given? Do you remember?
The barium was given before the ketamine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, that was my mistake. Okay, so we already had the barium in, you didn't see anything on the x-rays. Gave the xylazine and vomited it up. Okay. And is that when we aspirated, or were you seeing problems at that point?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know whether he aspirated when I gave it to him, or when he, when he threw up, that he swallowed or got some in the trachea. I don't know.
Did you see any respiratory changes or anything to indicate that, or
never?
Okay, so that was totally fine. Okay. All right, go back to the timeline here. So then on the 4th, we came back again. So the next day, the dog came back?
Yes. I took the dog over, and then the next morning I went talked to him, and they said he did fine during the night, and that I would take him back to my clinic.
And that's the day that the aspiration was actually diagnosed, because it was on the 4th. It was the day after the initial conversation, right? Or was this?
No.
Because that's when the client was informed, was it that day?
No. The aspiration of the barium happened the same day. Mm-hmm. That's why I took him over.
Okay, so the client was aware that the dog aspirated that same day?
Well, the client doesn't think so. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember. And all I can think of is if the client wanted to see the dog, I wouldn't have a dog there, so I would have had to tell her.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Okay. So the dog, you traveled the dog back to your hospital then the next day at 4?
Yes.
Okay. And then the dog seemed to be doing fine still at that point?
Yeah. He didn't have any coughing, gagging, breathing problems. If he was stressed, mm-hmm. he would have open mouth breathing.
Okay. Did he have any cyanosis going blue or anything?
No.
Did he seem to struggle or just have more trouble reading that? Okay. So then on the 4th, the doctor was just kind of hospitalized? No other procedures were performed that day?
No, because I wanted to know.
Yeah, make sure it was stable. Okay. And then, so the next day, exploratory surgery was performed on the 5th?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you do that surgery?
Yeah.
Okay. Because there was a little bit of confusion around the surgery last time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why was there confusion?
Because I don't know why I would have done surgery on that dog.
Okay.
And I had nothing in the records to tell me. When I saw the surgical scar, mm-hmm. I knew that was my work.
Okay.
So.
Okay. The surgery itself, do you now remember doing it, or is it still kind of
like a must-have? Well, I remember that I didn't see anything.
Okay. And I recovered from anesthesia?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and do you have recordings of the anesthesia logs to show that it was normal?
Yeah.
Was there any issues with recovery?
No.
Okay. And then, so that was on the 5th. Was the dog discharged that night?
I don't remember. I think we may have kept him overnight, discharged him in the morning.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I wanted to make sure he was out of anesthesia, he was eating and healthy before I sent him home.
Okay. So was he hospitalized at your facility, or was he transported back to the same overnight facility?
No, he was hospitalized at my facility.
Okay. And then we got back the 7th, and how's the dog doing? Or I'm sorry, the 6th. How was the dog doing the day after surgery?
He was doing fine breathing-wise, but he wouldn't eat. He wouldn't eat, and I didn't know, whether that was something that was just post-operative or whether I had inadvertently done something. He was healthy, active, he wasn't really painful, but he wouldn't eat.
Okay. And what was done on the 6th, treatment-wise,
we had him for sure on antibiotics, and I started giving him the medication to help stimulate his appetite to see if that would do. There was no vomit or diarrhea, he just wouldn't eat.
Still doesn't have COVID. All right, and then did we stay over again the 6th into the 7th?
Yes. And at that point, I got really concerned. Well, I don't know. Again, it's been a long time. At some point, while I was watching the dog, he had a head problem where his head was in and he wouldn't lift his head. And at that point, I said, I have to refer you. I don't know what's going on here. I just had no idea, and at that point I referred them back to the emergency room, and they determined that they'd have to do a lot of stuff to determine what's the cause, and the owner elected euthanasia.
And that was then on the 8th? Because the dog was discharged on the 7th, came back on the 8th.
Yeah, the timeline, I'm not real sure.
So between the, when was the last time you saw the patient? What was the, what day was the last time you saw the patient? I know that was communication or anything, but when was the dog in your hospital for discharge?
Well, that's what I was trying to tell you before. I'm not sure when the last day was. It looks like it was August 14th.
Now, between when the dog was discharged on the
7th? I think, 7th or 8th?
Between the 8th and the 14th, was the dog seen at your hospital at all? Or was it just kind of a communication?
No, the owner was concerned because the dog wasn't eating, wasn't doing well. I wanted to see why.
Okay. So that dog came back. Did the dog get seen on the 11th? We didn't have any records or anything from.
Yeah, I have to. This is not an excuse, but this happened during COVID, and I had to let everybody go. So it was just me and Mary there, and we were all doing jobs we weren't used to doing. Ordinarily, when I do my morning rounds, there's a tech there that's writing in the record what I did. Mary forgot to do that. So there's some days where there's no information in the record because she didn't put it in.
Okay. And the dog was, let's see, so. Okay, so those are my main questions right now. Anybody else has any questions?
Any other board members have questions? Anybody on the phone? Ms. Sullivan, Dr. James?
No questions here. I do have Mr. Chairman James Sullivan here. Did you see the dog on August the 13th?
Yes, the dog was with me. If she was discharged on the 14th, I did see the dog on the 13th.
Okay.
And that's when I got concerned about the head.
Okay. Oh,
sure.
Thank you.
Any other board members have questions for Dr. Kiesel? Seeing none, we step back for now. We'll now hear from the, well, I guess you don't have to. Clinton's on the phone. So I guess you can stay there. She's on the phone.
Oh, sorry.
I see. All right, so we'll now hear from the complainant. Would you please introduce yourself, state your name aloud for the record.
Hi, it's Julia
Bushman. Thank you. And we'll swear you in now. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Okay. And you are the complainant in this case, that is correct?
Correct.
Okay. We've read the materials you provided, and you may address the board.
My main concern is with things, what can happen with that step. When I had a patient coming in originally,
I'm sorry, I need you to reposition your phone. The court reporter can't hear to transcribe your.
I'm sorry. I took it off the speakerphone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. So let's just start over from the top.
Okay. Well, when I had taken Buddy in originally, it was because he had swallowed 7% of his underwear. I don't have my notes on me at the moment. I'm having to get my children, so I'm sorry. I can't exactly say the full date. When I had written everything down, it was as it was going. And then when I had gotten money back on the 14th is when I had finalized everything to make sure that all of my documents were correct. When I had gotten Buddy back, he was, his head was down, he was super lethargic, wasn't responsive. It was tilted to the side, and he was breathing. His breathing was so awful. I took him to the other vet down the street, and they had informed me that I could go ahead and keep him on oxygen and antibiotics for the next several days, but it would only prolong the inevitable for Buddy. So I decided to put him down that day. During the entire process, I had to contact him most of the time. He would not reach out to me every time he would express my concern for Buddy. I was told that that he was fine, everything was okay, and that there was nothing wrong with him. But there was. everything that I had written down and expressed to before is my only concern about what's going to happen with the next few steps.
Any board members have questions for the complainant?
This is Dr. Wright. Yes, sorry for your loss. I just have some questions. I know you're on your timeline in front of you, said, but do you remember after day one on the August 3rd, on August 3rd when the bearing was given, what were you told about an aspiration, anything, or what were you informed about at that point?
So when I had gotten the email, I believe it was on the 4th, is when he had let me know about that he had aspirated the barium. When I had gotten Buddy back on leave, I was also informed that he was given the surgery. They were going to perform the surgery the next day. On the 5th, they had performed the surgery, and then on the 7th, I believe, is when I had received him back.
Okay, so, but you dropped him off on the 3rd, correct?
Yes, sir.
So, did you have any communications that evening about what was going on, or what happened on the evening of the 3rd?
On the evening of the 3rd, when I dropped him off, he informed that he would let me know what was the next step.
So, were you planning on leaving him there overnight either way?
I had let him know that if I needed the X-ray, I would for him to have X-ray done, and if needed surgery, because I was worried about the foreign objects in him.
Okay.
He wasn't having them, he was in a lot of pain and discomfort.
Okay. Were you expecting him to come home that night?
No.
Okay, so you're expecting him to stay there from the 3rd to the 4th?
I was expecting him to stay there, until I hear back on what was happening with the surgery, if he was going to need surgery or not.
Okay, and your first communication was the next day then, about everything?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other board members have any questions for the client?
No, sir.
All righty, then we'll go back. Dr. Kiesel, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you'd like to ask?
No, other than Dr. Kiesel has been forthright and honest and answering your questions about things that took place 15 months ago. He answered them to the best of his abilities. He's given barium with xylazine together for years without incident. That itself is my understanding of the whole school. technique, and that didn't necessarily fall below the standard of care, as far as I know, but the way things happened subsequently are probably a greater concern to you all. In that regard, Dr. Kiesel was trying to do what was best for the dog and indirectly for the owner. Again, you may want to consider pending the case and consolidating this with case 2241 so you get a full picture of Dr. Kiesel's fitness to practice veterinary medicine. In that regard, I want to remind you that he's been practicing for the past 15 months without any incident other than this case. That's all I have. Ed, you got anything to add?
Just that I really, really feel bad for the owner, and I'm sorry.
Thank you. Are there any more questions from board members? Seeing none, this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do with this matter.
Thank you. So, yeah, this is a very involved case. It was gone on over multiple days, and it's an unfortunate outcome, and that's what happened. The question is, where are the issues? If there are issues, and what do we have on the ground for this? Is what we do. When I kind of start to look and see what's going on here, I agree with the council that states that xylazine is an option for these things. I think nowadays there's a better option, but it's not wrong. It's still on the market. It's still a good drug. It's used, not uncommonly. Like I said, there are other options, but as it's failing to use this medication, I don't think that's an issue here. Like I said, it sounds like the thought process was there, and why are we giving these medications? What are we going to proceed to with surgery, giving ketamine, this kind of stuff? I can't fault that. The aspiration is just an unfortunate side effect of giving these things that are going to happen. I can't fault anybody for these things. It's the subsequent after treatment and care that's kind of where the big concerns are. And I definitely like to have people's opinion and comments on this. But when we're looking through, we're looking for some really wide one and things that are missing in the rescue records. There's a lot of debate or comments that I've kind of made on things that are just missing from there. There was some question about the surgery, was it actually performed, where was it performed, what was going on, and there was a suggested violation of misrepresentation services rendered. There's some confusion and stuff around there, but it sounds like now that we are seeing that surgery was done, so I don't know if we really need to follow up around that with this. I can talk that too, getting that confusion and what's going on, and unfortunately, the lack of records to support kind of what we need. And we need that historical look because, many months later, it's very hard to realize or remember what actually happened. You don't have those complete records. That's a problem. And as that video misrepresentation services rendered, I think at this point, it's not my major concern in regards to this, and nobody else is sitting around now.
Mr. Chairman, I'll chime in. This is Jamie Solomon. The misrepresentation in reading the IC report of service to Geranium dealt with the surgery charge and the respondent's previous testimony that the surgery wasn't performed, so on August the 5th. So at this point, his recollections have been refreshed, and he admits to performing the surgery. So this charge was for the provision of surgery was not misrepresented. is my conclusion.
So you're saying that it was not misrepresented at this point?
No, because he basically, the complainant was charged for surgery. Mm-hmm. And the respondent does not recall performing on August the 5th. The respondent, as I understand it from today's testimony, now recalls performing that surgery for which the complainant was charged.
Yes, yeah, that's my gathering. So I think that one is kind of a point at this point. We're looking at documentation of authorization for surgery, the antiseptic recording requirements, these kind of things. Again, those are kind of more the one-on-one issues that are there or not. We just need to go on there. And then we have a recommendation for medical incompetence with the administering xylazine and giving barium. Again, the testimony, I think barium is given first now, is what we heard, and then xylazine is given after.
That
only hear that one during the testimony, because I asked when the timeline was given, and the barium was given initially, and then I was seen on x-rays, and then I gave xylazine for our surgery. Can I clarify?
Xylazine was going to come before the ketamine anyway.
Yeah.
So xylazine, ketamine, barium.
That's the timeline. Yes, can I ask that question to clarify?
X-ray first, then xylazine, then barium, then ketamine.
I cannot hear whoever is speaking.
Okay. Sorry, it was just a clarification of timeline. He said it was x-rays first. Then xylazine, then barium, then ketamine. Sorry, when I was asking questions, I must have gotten confused or asked it wrong, because I thought the barium was giving barium to her first, so I apologize there. So we gave the xylazine, then we gave the barium. Again, could things have been done with that? Can you wait a little longer for the xylazine to wear out and give us a screen? There are some options, but again, was that a major faux pas there? It's hard to say, because there was sound judgment as to why this was done. We didn't have an actual timeline that could justify today how long after that was given. I asked that. But I didn't know if I could say even better than that, because that seems an incompetent thing. Any thoughts from anybody else on that?
I think there's enough other things, medical records.
That's
a big thing.
Yeah.
That prevents putting the puzzle together 15 months later, right?
Yeah.
So medical records for me and the trip to the ER, the time and the treatment at the ER are not disclosed. Is that panic? Is it ethics exhaustion? I don't know.
Strange to me that take my pet to to another hospital without even just my knowledge. Maybe you didn't need my consent and it was an emergency, but it seems so bizarre if I were to have shown up there and asked, oh, I actually took your dog.
Yeah.
He's being cared for elsewhere.
Yeah.
And then presumably, sorry, did I miss the part? Did he pay that bill or was that, did he charge the...
No, I think he paid it himself.
Yeah.
So it's kind of,
Can we wrap up the section on the medical incompetence and kind of go through the bullet points and say and whether we concur or not? I think that's what Dr. Wright had started to do under that section with administering the xylazine and then giving the barium question.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going through with that, is which one of those things there, and I can't really say it's incompetence to give xylazine and barium, because I don't want to kind of make a little bit of statement that it's incompetence that way.
I would skip those first three bullet points. 32-22-32-3, 32-22-32-11, 32-22-32-22, and go down to the 32-22-32-12 and start from there.
Well, sorry, what was that? But yeah, no, I mean, I'm definitely seeing the communication issues as a medical records issues being the problem here in transporting the patient. Yes, it's nice that it was done, that the VA bill, the laws, kinds of things, but yeah, it declined to be informed on that kind of thing. So we have the failure by courteous verbal interchange, but I think the emergency call about third and not for the pen. I mean, I think that should have been relayed. And I think it would have been relayed, or I think it would have been received positively at that point. Yeah, we've been concerned, but I'm doing the best thing for your head. I'm covering the bill. I just want this dog taken care of. I think that would have been a fairly easy conversation to have, to be honest.
It was, sir.
Yeah. So that is concerning that we didn't have that communication going on there. So we have the next recommended violation, 3212, for altering or making false statements in the medical record from August 14th. Again, we have a lot of issues, a lot of missing things going on there, a lot of the implication, and failure to provide the pedal or discharge instructions following surgery and documenting it in the medical record that discharge instructions were provided. Again, that's a standard statute that we just have to have. That's not in there. Dispensing the medication in the room without prescription or label and not documenting the medication is dispensed in the medical record. And that's one of my standard statutes and rules. Failure to maintain the medical record for the dog on August 11th, 2020. Again, we're just missing records there. We have the 3220, 3221 as it relates to R3552. Failure to obtain signed authorization from officer and dog on August 5th, 2020. And other documentation about verbal authorization and stuff. That witnesses and all kinds of things, because if I don't have something signed, I don't want to make sure I have backup. It's like, I do stuff over the phone too. But I just want to make sure I have backup and witnesses to these kinds of things, especially for something that big. It's not just the actor or something. So that you examine the dog and record the results prior to the surgery on August 5th. Again, but these are kind of standard things there. Failure to monitor the dog under anesthesia of TPR 15 minutes. Again, that falls into the medical records is an issue where we could have answered a lot of these questions before too. Failure to examine the dog and record the results of the 4th, 5th, and 6th. And failure to record the radiographs and results in the medical records. So, I mean, most of these are not black and white there. And I don't know if any of my thoughts or anything else, but they're not big of a deal at all.
I agree.
Mr. Lilly, can I ask, is Dr. Jane still along the phone?
I am.
Okay, thanks.
So that's kind of my thought process on going through this. I don't know if anybody else has any other comments at this point.
So I said, the only thing I would maybe change is that, like I said, I'm skipping top three. Mm-hmm. Okay? Going down to the fourth one. The fifth one, 3212 as it relates to R3115019 for altering or making false data.
So we're missing
that
stuff.
Yeah, I would say missing and not properly amending. I don't know whether false or, and I don't know whether, but there is a way to properly amend something, right? You know, you leave the original, strike through, put the correction, date and initial, right? There's a procedure, legal, reasonable method for amending something, adding something new in. That was, I'm not sure anything was altered or false. If it wasn't there, or it wasn't amended properly.
And that's one of the reasons why I paused so long on that one, because it sounds like that kind of seems like more of an active type thing where you're trying to go in and falsify, do stuff, and it's like, well, I don't think there was intent to falsify anything. I think it was just stuff wasn't handled, stuff wasn't done the right way. But yeah, so that making false statements, that was kind of when I was sticking up.
It's not on time, it may not be, if it wasn't, if it's not in the moment, it may not be totally accurate. I mean, recollection may not be exactly how it happened.
Yeah, there's a difference between making false statements and not recalling the right information. So I had a little bit of sticking point on that, so I'll get that.
So I think we're working. I think I would leave the rest as it are. I would amend that one. Amend the first three. Amend.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think.
Go ahead, Ms. Solomon.
I'd like to ask before the medical experts on the board to comment on the last three bullets under 22, 22, 22, which are not performing blood work prior to surgery, no ASA status documented prior to surgery, and performing surgery on the dog using indoctrinated ketamine and xylazine only, not intubating the dog, and maintaining on gas and anesthetic.
So, in regards to not performing blood work prior to surgery, I don't think that's not a standard. The clinics do surgeries all the time without looking at blood work. It adds another expense in that people just don't want to do. So, there is no statute around that, as far as I'm aware. And I think the best practice is to check blood work, but is it a violation of statute not to do blood work? I don't see that anywhere.
It's still a little Right, the older they get, the more likely you are to do blood work.
Yeah, and we do see stuff on blood work routinely that we didn't expect, but is an actual violation to not do it before surgery? No, in my opinion.
And I would say most oftentimes when we review that kind of violation, we say, was it offered, was it explained, not was it done, right? Because we want to make sure our clients know that it's available, they want to do it. And I don't know in this case, because of all the different medical records violations and how many things weren't documented, that we'll let you know that answer. Like, I don't think there's any way of going back and getting it, really.
We go back to for the next one, no ASA test documented prior to surgery. That is a human thing. Now, ASA status is something that we'll use, but again, is that an actual statute violation? Well, I think that falls more into where we already see it. 1322, 1321 as it relates to R311502H2, failure to examine the animal and record the results in the medical record prior to surgery. I think that's kind of a little whammy if you need to there on the top one with the OSCA status. Because that's the American Society of Anesthesiologists. So that's a human thing that we've adopted. So again, that is a nice thing, but it doesn't 100% correlate to animals from the anatomy side, how you use it. But I don't think that's a violation of it. And then performing surgery in the dog when using the induction agent ketamine xylazine only. And I guess on that, was surgery done only with ketamine xylazine? I can't see that being possible. A dog would be not sitting there for surgery. So something else was given. You know, that's a failure of records and failure to record the things in the proper way. But yeah, ketamine and xylazine alone are not going to be. You're not doing the dial surgery as too long.
At least it's done to protect aspiration.
Yeah.
I mean the.
Same with two. Yeah. So I mean, I can't imagine surgery and ketamine xylazine alone without having all the people to hold that animal down as it's screaming, which I think about surgery. So I think it's more.
Ketamine, we can do that.
What's that? Well, they're not going to. Oh. Facetious. But I think this is more of a failure to record the proper anesthetics as opposed to they weren't used, because I just cannot see a dial surgery without having these eyes anymore.
Okay, do you think the dog was intubated?
Oh, well, I can't say anything on this, but I have to believe there's more than just cutting his eyes. I can't.
They wouldn't necessarily need it to have something else.
Yeah, no. I mean, there are other agents that can be used to still do injectable, but that's a or hard surgery to do with just the whole job. So I think this was a failure of the documentation.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
So yeah, I agree. 1-3, or 1-2-3, and or just kind of what's more the other issue going on here.
There's enough of those we're doing.
Yeah, it's and there's repeat stuff. Yeah. And then like 75, you were saying the false statements. What were your recommendations on this?
Missing and not properly amended.
That still fit that statute then.
Just wanted to think you're trying to make it longer.
You love it.
You look at the rule because of the
yeah, it's one of the rules now. I do live on 5-1-9.
An article alter any document, record, or report considered within. I mean, if you have to, if you know something's wrong and you have to amend it, but you're not really altering it. Like I said, you're leaving the original with a strike through, adding your new information, the date and the initials, whoever added it.
Yeah. So to call them in there because we're just aren't properly altering it. But that's why I want to make sure not overreach that and what we're saying.
Yeah, so
you're right. That does basically say you can't change anything ever.
Yeah.
So that's a hard rule because it's an article out. It's absolutely
if you know something's wrong, you can't leave it there.
Exactly.
Right?
So
mistakes do get made, and you have to fix them if you know about it.
So since we're taking out the false statement, we're not going to let that be the best one in there.
We staff to note a possible rule change for the future or clarification.
Victoria's shaking her head. She'd love to add that one word.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry.
She's not really. I don't know. But I think in this case, that's kind of sticking in mind for me. I don't know, especially if you're going to say anything else. I think there's a lot of things that are going to tie in with that and kind of truly make up for that as opposed to add that on.
So just take it out instead of trying to amend it.
So
I think that's the better. I'm good with that. So you go with 4, skip 5, skip the first 3, 4, skip 5, and then
the rest.
Then the rest.
Yeah.
So all you have to say is so moved.
Oh, I agree.
Right, and somebody else go.
Okay, or do I need to verbalize every single one?
So, Dr. Roy, can I ask you to just clarify the step you guys are going to ask for 32-22 for the bullet you want to take out? So, are you guys taking out not assessing and investing in the variant aspiration?
The whole third one we were striking. So, the whole medical incompetence one.
So, did I understand? So, there was. Varying and aspirated and then he performed surgery after that. Just didn't seem to understand that.
Yeah, I mean.
And what I take out now.
Does not assess the effects of varying aspiration. And I think we're assessed because we had the forethought to the dog emergency climbing. Again, but that's the more communications broke down. So, I mean, if the dog needed surgery, the dog doesn't need surgery, aspiration or not.
So, he didn't know. Right?
Yeah.
Should he have?
Well, like I said, the the not assessing the effects of the barium aspiration, I think it was assessed because, again, he had the forethought to take the dog to the OR facility. Now, again, with surgery, should that have been done after the fact? Well, I think the fact that we went to the emergency, the dog was still stable and doing well. Again, I mean, there's some cases where you have to go to surgery no matter what, and you're just kind of awkward the entire time, and you just don't rest. So I think they were assessed. Again, was everything assessed appropriately to the level that I would like? I don't know, I mean, but I think it was assessed in that moment. And then the city go to surgery later. Again, did the dog die from the surgery? Or was this complications of aspiration that would occur when we were there? Kind of the medical records violations that don't affect the outcome of the case. Did the surgery truly affect the outcome? It could have the stress and all that, but I don't think the surgery was going to be the determining factor to help the dog. It would have been, nine days later. So if we had a complication during the surgery, I'd be more inclined to say that should have been done. This is kind of after the fact. So I don't know, maybe I'm totally wrong on that. If anybody else would ask for it. Or other members of the case, that's been more than doing this for so long, if they have thoughts on that.
I would agree with that thought process.
Yeah, so basically it's just 1, 2, and 3, and then 5.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
So do I need to read every one of them? Please, sir. Okay. So I make a motion to find a violation of ARS 3222-3212 as it relates to ACR 311-5011. Failure to provide courteous verbal exchange by taking the dog to an emergency facility on August 3rd, 2020 and not informing the pet owner. ARS 3222-3218 as it relates to ACR 311-5211. Failure to provide the pet owner with discharge instructions following surgery on the dog and documenting a medical record that discharge instructions were provided. ARS 3222-3219 as it relates to ARS 3222-3219 as it relates to ARS 3222-8181 and 2 for dispensing medication to the pet owner without a prescription label and not documenting a medication dispensed in the medical record. ARS 3222-3221 that you maintain any medical record for the dog on August 11th, 2020. ARS 3222-3221 as it relates to ACR 3152H1, failure to obtain signed authorization to perform surgery on dog on August 5th, 2020, or add on verbal confirmation in the records. H2, failure to examine the animal and record the results in the medical record prior to surgery on August 5th, 2020. H3, failure to monitor the dog while under anesthesia and the dog's heart rate and respiration rate every 15 minutes in the dog's medical record on August 5th, 2020. L4, failure to examine the dog and record the results in the medical record on August 4th, 5th, 6th, 2020. And L9, failure to record the radiographs and results of radiographs in the medical record.
Before you seconded it,
I seconded.
The motion of four second to find that list of violations. Any further discussion? That's good because the chair will be able to let you get away.
Roll call.
All right, yes, let's do a roll call.
I'll do Dr. Byrne.
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Dr. Gosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And everybody is aye, motion carries.
Board has voted to find violations. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law, and after doing so, will then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you for everybody participating today, in person and on the phone.